Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
You're listening to the Dana and Parks Podcast on KMBZ.
On a Tuesday throwback to the 80s. Is Sanjay Gupta ever going to get a haircut?
I kind of like it longer.
He's starting to look like a hippie.
He's hippie Dr. Gupta.
Hello.
Looks good.
Story here from the New York Post. By the way, the Scorpions are your artists of the day. This is what happens when you take 3 days off last week to go golfing.
Mm-hmm.
Louisville police have declared a state of emergency as the city in Kentucky braces for a grand jury decision on the fate of three cops involved in the police shooting of Breonna Taylor. Acting Police Chief Robert Schroeder said yesterday that days off and vacation requests for all Louisville police officers have been canceled until further notice, pending the announcement from the Attorney General on whether the cops involved in the March shooting will face criminal charges, Dana Wright. Quoting here from Acting Police Chief Robert Schroeder, to ensure that we have the appropriate level of staffing, to provide for public safety services and our policing functions, effective immediately, the LMPD will operate under the emergency staffing and reporting guidelines is outlined in blah, blah, blah.
As we speak, the windows are boarded up at the courthouse and they have shut down the streets in anticipation of some announcement.
And we don't know what that is.
And we don't know what that is.
Correct. We assume it's coming within the next day or so. They have started shutting down the entire city. Three Louisville police officers, Sergeant Jonathan Mattingly, Officers Miles Cosgrove, and Brett Hankinson, face potential criminal charges in Breonna Taylor's March 13th death. During a botched raid, Hankinson, he is an officer, Brett Hankinson, has since been fired.
Now, a judge signed the warrant for this no-knock warrant.
Correct.
And it has launched a very fiery debate over whether or not anyone should be in the business of the no-knock warrant. And NPR nationally did several stories about this. And in Louisville, after Breonna Taylor's death, the city council unanimously voted to ban the no-knock warrant.
They did this after the fact?
After the fact. Now, okay. Now, the argument, and this is from the NPR story, there are probably 8 to 10 cases a year when a completely innocent person is killed in a no-knock warrant raid. Okay?
Okay.
We probably see another 20 or 30 cases where someone who may have had drugs in the house is killed, or maybe they pull a gun on police. But even someone who's actually involved in drugs or the drug trade, when someone bursts in the middle of the night unannounced, thinks that this is maybe a rival gang member, or, you know, when you are involved
or in just somebody breaking into your house,
when you're involved in what police will call a high risk lifestyle, it is entirely possible that someone bad is breaking into your house to kill you because you're involved in the drug trade. And I'm not suggesting Breonna Taylor was, because she was most certainly not. She is an innocent victim in this.
She was a public servant.
She was an EMT.
EMT, that's right.
So the argument is in favor of the no-knock warrant, that they're safer for police because police need this element of surprise, right, because those are dangerous people inside. But in the middle of the night, Scott, you're a firearms owner. In the middle of the night, someone comes bursting through your door.
I'm going to shoot.
You have always said you're going to shoot. That is what Breonna Taylor's boyfriend, they were both sleeping, did.
And he claims, and this is exactly what I would do.
He had a legally owned firearm. That's not a claim. That is a fact.
That is a fact. And he claims, because he survived, he claims he shot a warning shot into the floor, which is exactly what I would do, especially if I had my daughters in the house. I would not shoot at something I can't see. And I would shoot into the floor to let them know, hey, there's a gun in here, and you probably don't want to continue.
So there was a case in Topeka when I was, oh my gosh, so young, I don't even think I was allowed to legally drink, Scott, where Topeka police, I'll never forget it, burst into some apartment complex, and the guy had some marijuana in there, whatever it was. He did not know who they were. It was in the middle of the night.
Right.
He had a firearm. Reached for that firearm and shot, and I'll never forget it. It went right here into the armpit of one of the officers, right where the vest would not cover.
Did he survive?
The officer died.
Oh.
So this is something that happens when you are dealing with bad people, when you are dealing with innocent people. I truly believe they had the wrong house here. The house they were actually trying to get into was several doors down from Breonna Taylor's place. So, do we ban these on the federal level? Do we say no? Because there are too many innocent people that are killed? There are to me, it's perhaps one of the most dangerous positions an officer can be in.
Do you think that the reason they've boarded up the courthouse and they have gone out of their way, Dana, this is day two that you and I have reported on this story. Do you think that they already know what the grand jury decision is going to be, and they're just preparing everybody for it?
I think it's possible, because you know how those offices can leak.
Yes.
I think it's possible. Now, I think they're trying to do their due diligence either way, but do I think someone in that office has said to the police chief privately,
let's go ahead and start boarding up
windows? Let's go ahead and start boarding up windows. They are leaning toward X, Y, and Z. I think it's possible.
Telephone number here is 576-7798, 576-7798. From the text line, you need to get your facts straight about Breonna Taylor. She was fired from her job as an EMT because she was stealing drugs.
So she deserved to be shot in the middle of the night, sleeping in her own bed?
She's not, continuing the text, she's not as innocent as you think she is. I don't know anything about whether or not Breonna Taylor was actually fired from her
what,
job.
What does that have to do with
it means nothing.
Anything?
It has nothing to do with it. It has nothing to do with it.
According to a study from St. John's Law Review, between 2010 and 2016, at least 94 people died during the execution of these no-knock search warrants. Scott, 13 of those 94 were police officers.
Now somebody points out they announced who they were before they came in through the door. I have been on these, quote, no-knock warrants, okay? You're right. They do announce literally a half a second
before that battering ram,
that's correct,
takes down the door.
Correct. Police, boom.
So listen to this from the Detroit News. Take Matthew Stewart, who was asleep in his Utah home on the night of January 4th, 2012, when the sound of breaking glass startled him awake. Thinking he was being robbed, he jumped out of bed, threw on a robe, grabbed his gun. Stewart said after being shot at, he shot back, killing one of several plainclothes officers who began shooting and injuring several others. He was branded a cop killer, committed suicide in jail. In his case, the officers had obtained a no-knock warrant to search his home on suspicion of marijuana possession. One officer was wearing a Cheech and Chong shirt, and the rest were dressed in blue jeans and windbreakers. Yeah. I don't understand why, as a police officer or as a police department, let's make this about department policy, does this not have to be one of the single most dangerous positions you can ever place yourself in? If you're dealing with innocent people and you're wrong, they could have a concealed carry. They hear someone coming in, they're going to fire.
Sure.
If you're dealing with the worst of the worst, mm-hmm. and you've got the address right, they most certainly going to fire.
Now, with the home of Breonna Taylor's boyfriend, did they have the address right?
There were two addresses.
Okay.
The address where they thought the drug activity and the two men selling drugs lived was down the street.
So they had the address wrong.
They had, they did not break down that address door, to my knowledge. She had at one point dated one of those men.
I see.
Huh. But the men that they were looking for did not live in that apartment. They lived several doors down.
Okay. 576-7798. Sam, Candace, Jeff, Connie, you guys are all next. 576-7798. Welcome back. It is a Tuesday throwback to the 80s. The year was 1987. Their biggest charting hit ever. Connie in Liberty. Connie, good afternoon and hello.
Hi, Connie.
Hi there. Well, first I just want to thank both of you for the show. The two of you and Sam are just really a blessing in my life. I just appreciate you and I feel like your family.
Oh, wow. Connie, thank you so much.
My question for you on the topic that you're discussing. Well, Dana, first of all, I do totally agree with you that that Breonna Taylor was an unfortunate victim. I've been married to a law enforcement personnel for 33 years, and I know kind of the background about how these situations go down. And my question has to do for you and your viewers is, how did her unfortunate death get absorbed into the Black Lives Matter movement? She wasn't targeted because she was Black. It was just an unfortunate thing that happened, just like even on, Army bases when they're going through their practice drills and sometimes people get killed and it's very sad and no one planned it that way, but this was just clearly a totally different situation than like what has happened in these other cases.
Because Connie, you're saying they would not have had any way to know she was sleeping in that bed when they shot and killed her, which is a fair point. However, I would also point out that I believe part of the reason there's so much anger over this is with, unlike the other cases, there was not swift action taken against any of the officers with regard to charges. I believe one of the officers was fired because he fired into the apartment building 8 times, just willy-nilly fired into the apartment building, which could have killed, moms, dads, women, children, whoever. He was fired for breaching department policy there. But I think part of the reason people are so angry about her death is because there just wasn't any action taken in the aftermath of her death, which I believe is why Louisville right now is bracing for unrest.
Yeah, I know. Something that I think that the public doesn't really realize is that the investigations into these matters, they take a long time. you know, you need to bring in ballistics, and it's not as easy as, you know, you need to consider what each person did and whether they breached any policy and so forth. And in this particular case, I think it took a long time because they wanted to be sure.
Yeah.
You know, I think we're getting to a point where, you know, we're getting, and when I say we, I guess I'm speaking for people who just support the police at large, because we know that these incidences are like one in several thousand that might happen. You know, that most police officers.
Where there should definitely be due process. And that's why I love our conversation this hour, Connie, because we're not necessarily talking even about the officers involved in Louisville. This is about policy. And so listen to this from the Detroit News. States should require police to wear functioning body cameras during every single no-knock raid.
Agreed.
Video was extremely important in determining the facts of Ahmaud Arbery, George Floyd, but during unexpected searches, citizens, usually in bed in the middle of the night, are not going to be able to grab their phone and record what's going on. Or they won't, for fear of it being mistaken as a weapon. Instead, they write, police cameras should be rolling during every single warrant. It says invading an individual's personal space is a risky job. And I cannot agree more with that. They have also suggested, by the way, that these are only executed, Scott, during daylight hours when people are functioning at full capacity. Otherwise,
you're grabbing your gun.
You're grabbing your gun in the
Absolutely.
Middle of the night, assuming
Absolutely.
It's a bad guy.
Yes.
And I want Jeff to hang on. We've got a retired SWAT commander on the line, and we really, really want to get to you, Jeff. We're up against the news. Please stand by.
So Jeff, Candace, and the others, 576-7798. Hang tight. You guys are all next. Jeff, you're first on deck here on Dana and Parks. On a Tuesday throwback to the 80s, I have waited too long for this call. Jeff in Kansas City. Jeff, hello.
Hi, welcome, Jeff.
Yes, sir. How you doing?
Hi, so good. Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate it. Love the show.
Thank you. You're a retired SWAT.
Yes.
What do you think about the national conversation about these no-knock search warrants? I don't want to get into the weeds of the Breonna Taylor case because that brings politics into it and
sure.
a lot of heat. Just talk to us about your experience and why this is a good or bad policy.
Okay. You know, things have changed so much over the years. So 15, 20 years ago, when we were doing no-knock warrants on a regular basis, tactics were a lot different then. You know, just we learned so much from case studies and different tragedies that happen. Unfortunately, we always see change because of tragedies, and we learn from them. But, you know, back in the day, a no-knock warrant was the thing that we needed to do because we thought that speed and surprise and action was the way to go, like you were talking about. Do it at O-Dark 30, get them, you know, and we want to get that suspect when they're not expecting it, that kind of thing. But tactics have changed so much over the years that for the last several years of my career, all of my operations were not done at 4 o'clock in the morning. They were done during the day. We did try to think about, you know, let's do this when kids are at school and not at home. People are, you know, when people are awake, when people are, you know, are awake during the hours, or even at a spouse might be at work, or there's just so many safety factors to look into, you know, prior to serving a warrant and then actually operating and serving that warrant. Number one priority is safety. Safety of the officers, safety of the people inside the home, safety of the people around that area. So you see a lot now of using tactical robots. We used a robot for the last 8 years of my career. You know, doing so many things. I'm sorry, what's that?
No, we're just listening. We're listening.
Just using so many different things to, you know, before even sending in a live operator. My big priority was let's make sure that everyone is safe. If I can, here's the big thing. 15 years ago, we did what was called like a flood method, where you would go in the middle of the night, you would break the door, you would rush in the house, you would flood through the house and use that speed and surprise. But now we've seen so much more safety from what we call surround and call out. You know, surround at a safe distance, use your vehicles, use the PA system, call those people out to you, and, you know, give that opportunity for safety instead of just throw in those other factors.
And the safety of the officers, too. I mean, so many officers have died this way, Jeff. Some with good guys on the wrong side of the door and some with bad guys on the wrong side of the door.
And, Jeff, truth to everything you said, and listen, you know much more about this than I ever could imagine.
Lived it.
But what would you say, and I want to bring Curtis in here in just a second because I think he has a different opinion than you do, Jeff.
Okay.
And maybe you can discuss with him. I don't want to start an argument. But what would you say to somebody who said, well, you're giving them the opportunity to flush their drugs down the toilet?
You know, and that, I figured that question would come up, and that does question. I mean, every circumstance is different. We look at the totality of the circumstances with every case in a case-by-case situation. They're not all going to be the same. But, you know, in a case where there could be some serious potential violence, I'm looking more at the safety than I am saving drugs. I want to save lives before I save a drug. If this person has a warrant, if they already have an active warrant for their drug use, their drug sale, whatever, then we know we're going to arrest them on that active warrant. If it means I might lose some dope in the process, I'm willing to do that if it means the safety of my officers and the safety of the people in the house.
Jeff, were these no-knock warrants ever executed for low-level marijuana possession, or is it more the big players? Because when you're putting lives at risk, to me, there has to be some big reason to agree to let the officers go in there and put their own lives at risk.
Mm. Sure. And every single time that I was presented with a situation to where I would have to use my SWAT team, we did what's called a risk assessment. And we would look at all the factors, you know, who are the players involved? What's their criminal history? Do we have automatic weapons involved? Is it a gang-related thing? You know, all those things would factor in. Normally for a misdemeanor possession of marijuana, we wouldn't use our SWAT team for that. And a lot of that is policy. You know, different departments do different things. I know some departments will use a SWAT team on every narcotics warrant they have. We didn't have that policy, though. We had to have a certain level of risk before we did.
Jeff, let me bring in Curtis, who I think has a different opinion than you do, and the two of you can work this one out. No arguments, of course. Curtis, hello, welcome.
Hi, Curtis.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good, go ahead.
All right. Okay, so I just want to make this point. Okay, so are we going to let the criminals know that we're going to come in? Okay, so, all right, let me start over. Let's say that the Breonna Taylor, she had a warrant because the drugs have been sent to her house. Anytime the drugs have been sent to someone's house, that automatically makes you a different type of criminal. You're willing to break the laws, you have to go over state lines to break those laws. Makes you a different type of criminal. So, yeah, no one's going to come in your house. Hey, let's knock on the door and see if these criminals are going to let us in. The officers don't know what's on the other side of the door, and we're only assuming that they want to protect themselves and go home at the end of the day. And with the Breonna Taylor situation, the fella in the house shot first. Now, I've never heard of cops shooting innocent bystanders because they went in the house shooting willy-nilly. That's for you, Dana. I've never heard of cops shooting willy-nilly, shooting an innocent bystander in the house. That's never happened. It's never been a situation.
Curtis, are you saying Breonna Taylor was not an innocent bystander?
I'm telling you that she's not innocent, that she might have been an innocent bystander, but when you get drugs sent to your house,
No drugs were ever found in the house.
They are disputing that drugs were ever sent to that house.
You don't have to find drugs in the house to put you in that situation, though. Yeah, they would find drugs.
Hang on, buddy. Breonna Taylor, there were no drugs in the house, okay? And she was unarmed. Her boyfriend, yes, did fire a warning shot.
With a legally possessed firearm.
He was asleep on the couch, if I remember the story correctly, when people, them being the police, came busting through the door. He thought it was a home invasion.
So you're telling me there was an officer that did not announce the walk in?
You're telling me that if you're asleep and somebody screams police, that you're going to hear that? Or if somebody kicks in your door, that you're not going to grab your gun?
No, I'm saying that when you own a gun, you have a responsibility to know the situation before you pull the trigger.
Here's what I know. Curtis, with respect, here's what I know. I'm asleep. Somebody has just kicked in the front door of my house.
And this front door of this particular house also had drugs mailed.
There were no drugs in the house.
See, this is why. Curtis, wait. Stop right there. This is why I don't want to litigate the Breonna Taylor case. That's not what we're doing here today. We are talking about the legitimacy of the no-knock warrant, period.
Okay.
Specifically, this is why I didn't want to go down that road. I do want to ask Jeff, the retired SWAT commander, something. Data by a professor at Eastern Kentucky shows that municipal police and sheriff's departments in the early 80s used no-knock warrants around 1,500 times. Listen to this. By 2000, that number rose to 40,000 times. And in 2010, they estimate 60 to 70,000 no-knock raids were conducted. Do you know why over the course of time those became more popular even as we saw deaths?
I think we saw a very large rise in a different type of crime when it came to drug use. When meth came into the scene, it really changed things in the criminal world. It changed the way people acted, the bath salts, all the different types of drugs as they kind of elevated. We just saw a rise in cooking drugs, you know, manufacturing drugs that brought more people into, you know, once you get into that world, then you're bringing guns and you're bringing, you know, violence and things. And I really do feel like we saw a big rise in that crime rate over, you know, the next couple decades after the 80s. When I started law enforcement, it was huge. Meth was a huge thing, and we were dealing with it all the time. Gangs were a big thing in the area I was at.
But, Jeff, do you think we need federal legislation to bring everyone in line with either yes or no with these things? Because even you said your police department had a different policy than the police department across the street.
I don't, you know, I'm not 100% pro no-knock warrant, for sure.
Sure.
I'm not. I think every situation, again, is going to be unique. It's going to be, you know, you're going to have the need for a different approach for every situation. And, you know, even when we used a different tactic other than the no-knock in the middle of the night, most of the time we would still apply for a no-knock warrant just in case our tactics had to change on the fly. We didn't want to be caught with our hands in our pockets and not have the option to do that for our safety. So even though we would have a no-knock warrant approved by a judge, we would still cater our tactics around that, but still have that option if we did need it.
Jeff, thank you for your service.
Absolutely. Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
B, let me ask you this question, and then we got to get to the break. Of all the no-knock warrants that you were involved in, how many, if you could go back, would you say, let's try a different way?
If I could go back, probably a quarter of them. I think now that I know maybe half of them now that I've done so much with different tactics, I look back and think, you know, we could have used this much safer tactic and we would have got the same end result.
Yeah.
Fortunately, I didn't, you know, run into a really bad situation in any of those, but there were some close calls that now when I think about it, if I would have stuck to this newer tactic of surround and call out and, you know, and use more tools that we have, I think it would have been a safer situation.
Hey, Jeff, you better get to the cornhole tournament, okay?
We would love to see you there. You call in anytime.
Hey, thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Great call, man. Great call.
Thank you.
Right. CornholeKC.com. CornholeKC.com. It is Saturday, October 3rd, right outside the Rieger in downtown Kansas City, presented by Dana and Parks. From the text line, are we doing terrible jokes today?
Yes.
We can do them at 4:45.
I could use a laugh today.
You know what? If you could use a laugh, we're going to provide it. So stand by for that. 4:45 this afternoon. Candace in Mission. Candace, good afternoon. Hello.
Hi, guys. Well, thank you so much. I love your show. I have a daily alarm set for 2:06 p.m.
Oh, bless your heart, Candace. That's awesome.
So not that I have anything to say following that last call, but as a dopey citizen, it just seems to me that a lot of these tactics may have been developed, you know, a long time ago before
yes.
we had a lot of technology that we have now. And I don't like taking away tools from law enforcement. I'm very pro the blue, but I do have a problem with the idea of these no-knock warrants into individual residences. If it's like a group home or location-based, that's one thing. But if it's persons-based, people move. People,
Amen.
You know, like it to do it in the middle of the night. And
well, Candace, people have roommates.
And children.
Do you remember the flashbang that went off and severely injured a baby in the crib? And I think that goes back to what Jeff was saying. If you can get in there with a robot or do it during a time where the innocent people are not around, that is certainly preferable.
Yeah, or put a security camera and do a good old-fashioned stakeout if you think somebody's going to be at a location. Take it out. Put a security camera up there. I mean, you know.
Candace, it is a great call, and I agree with everything you said. PBS actually looked into this earlier in the year and said the war on drugs gave rise to the no-knock warrants, mm-hmm. where I told you it started out with a few thousand and then went up to 70,000, 80,000 a year, mm-hmm. and Breonna Taylor's death could end them. Currently, only Florida and Oregon ban no-knock warrants.
Is that right?
Isn't that interesting? Florida, where all of the whacked out crime and meth craziness capital of the world, Florida and Oregon banned no-knock warrants.
Brian in Kansas City. Brian, hello. Good afternoon. Welcome.
Hey, how are you doing? Can you hear me okay?
Yeah,
you're a little overmodulated.
Can you take your mouth just a little bit away from your phone, if that's all right?
Well, I'm trying to do something here real quick, and it's not working.
Is it illegal?
No. I was on the phone with Sam a second ago. Is that any better?
Yeah,
oh,
way
much
better. Thank
much
you.
Much better.
All right. Yeah, I was on the phone with Sam a second ago, and I was talking to him, and I thought you had to have overwhelming evidence or you can actually do a no-knock warrant. I know I had a no-knock warrant served on me back in the late 90s. And they did exactly what the Officer Jeff said, that, you know, they came in and thank God I didn't have any guns, which I don't believe in. I'm a ex-felon now. I mean, I'm a felon. I can't own guns.
Well, maybe
anymore.
That's why you don't believe in owning guns.
Well, no, at the same time when I was doing stupid things, I never carried guns because all I know is they get you into trouble and they get you shot.
Sure.
So, but I know when they did the no-knock on me and they took me into the police station, they had all kinds of evidence. They had pictures, photos, all kinds of things that basically, okay, I'm guilty. This is it. I would have believed that they, to get the no-knock warrant from a judge, they would have had the same kind of surveillance, all that kind of stuff. They should have known what apartment they were going into. And it boggles the mind that they think that they can still do that. And make the wrong go into the wrong apartment?
You know, this PBS article kind of puts it back on the judges. I hate to say it. The Washington Post found between 2016 and 2018, just in Little Rock, Arkansas, judges approved 103 out of 105 no-knock warrant requests by police. And a former FBI agent argues that the Fourth Amendment, which protects people from unreasonable searches and seizures, has been essentially chipped away at by a string of court rulings and, quote, really has no meaning anymore.
Dana Wright, Sam Stevie III. I'm Scott Parks on KMVZ.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.